Dearest brethren, God bless you. I am Dora, and I will translate a live message which Brother Joseph gives live on radioblast.net. Angela is welcoming everybody. Welcome all of you to a live broadcast with Brother Joseph. Hello, Brother Joseph. Brother Joseph answers, hello to you, Angela. How are you today? Angela is saying, today we will talk about many news. We will talk about, do we really live in the end time? Because many people are asking themselves this question. Do we really live in the end time? Is this really the last generation? They see what's happening in the world, the war preparations and whatnot, but they're still skeptical. They're saying, yeah, but is the end still gonna come? Is it actually gonna come the end? We would like to answer these questions. The first message, it's actually a question from a sister, let's call her A. She's actually a little skeptical about the end time, living in the end time. So we would like to read you her message. What problem does this sister have? Angela saying, well, it's difficult to believe in people around you. One says one thing, one says another. What do you believe? Who do you believe? How do we know who tells the truth? Joseph is saying, well, first of all, let's pray. Let's pray for the Lord to bless this program. Lord Jesus, help us to step out of the way. Step out of the way. And let it be only Jesus. Let our flesh, my flesh, our brain, our carnal brain, don't let my carnal brain guide, but let it be your Holy Spirit. Let it be your Holy Spirit guide. Let your Holy Spirit guide, Lord. Today during the prayer here in the community, we were talking about Romans 8, how the carnal mind is contrary to the Spirit, but he who does not have the Spirit is not of God, is not of Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not of Christ. This is a good scripture for the Jehovah Witnesses. You need to pray to receive Christ's Spirit. Why? Christ's Spirit and not God's Spirit. Well, nobody knows God. We are testimonies, we are witnesses of Christ. We cannot be witnesses of God. Without Christ, you cannot arrive to God. Jesus is the only way. Brethren, our daily fight is to put away the flesh and eliminate the carnal mind. We were talking about it this morning during our prayer for the day. Every day there is a fight. So it's our daily fight against the flesh. Me, daily, I have to pray against my flesh and take it out of the way. And after the flesh is out of the way, but do you succeed? Angela's asking. Joseph is saying, well, sometimes it's more difficult than other times. But as long as I make it to be always active for Jesus, I usually make it. Doesn't the flesh overcome sometime? Angela's saying, I don't make it to have my flesh always under control. The flesh gives us so many troubles. Romans 7, even Paul said, I am a sinner, slave of sinners, chief of sinners. One time I was preaching in a evangelical or Baptist church, I don't remember. We kneeled down at the pulpit. Me and the pastor knelt at the pulpit and we prayed. And I said, Jesus, take away from me the pride. Take away from me the pride. So I was praying and I said, Lord Jesus, take away my pride and take away all my sins. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me, you, a sinner. And the pastor was looking at me shocked. What do you mean, sinner? You're a sinner? What are you doing? What's happening? So I almost stumbled him. He probably was thinking I was working on his wife or something. But I was just talking about the flesh, how often in your mind you have trials or whatever. It's not that I was having any evident sins. I was talking about pride and other sins, spiritual sins. So I guess some of the pastors only think that the sin is something in the flesh. I don't think of the spiritual sins. So let's read to the first message of today. Let's go to the first message of today. Let's go to the message that Ah sent us. She writes the first time. Hello, Brother Joseph. Here in Italy, there is being organized a great movement of people founded by a person who declares himself a Christian. He has a plan how to bring peace and prosperity all over the world, in Italy and in the world. He dedicated 30 years of his life to study this, and he went even to high levels. He went to high levels in his relationship with even big shots to be able to put in its feet this plan. So this person wants to bring peace and prosperity in the world, right? Well, let's read something what the Bible says about peace in the world. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. When they shall say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction come upon them, as travel upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. So the peace is the mask of the day. In the name of the peace, the Americans brought chaos in the world. They started the Iraq war, Syria, Afghanistan, Libya, Ukraine. They went and sticked their nose there, and the CIA sticked their nose, and then they started a bunch of revolts. So in the name of peace, America, this great prostitute, does all these wars. If somebody says, I want to bring peace in the world, I already understand who he is. What does Matthew 10:34 say? Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. So if Jesus says I bring a sword, then this guy who wants to bring peace to everybody, who is he? Continues the message. A. This sister A. So this person made a foundation in the Vatican, and the Vatican guarantees the integrity of this plan to bring peace into the world. And he also made an association with scientists and experts. He made an association with experts from the social spheres and scientific spheres. Joseph is saying, well, if the Vatican guarantees this plan, then we're already in trouble. We're already in trouble. It's not a very good recommendation if the Vatican guarantees it. The message continues. He also initiated a password to avoid all the mass communications. And in about 1 year, he already collected 100,000 people who are following him to build a better world. I think by the end of this year, this plan will be made public through a press conference, and I think you'll be able to read it on the newspapers. This person talks about Jesus, quotes the scriptures, and invites everybody to change and to be less selfish. And this movement is open to everybody, no matter the religion. They're open to everybody, and they invite everybody, no matter the religion. This guy is preaching things that everybody will agree. Who doesn't agree to become less selfish? I think, Joseph says, that this person is someone who cooperates with Bergoglio, the Jesuit, and with an NWO order to promote the ecumenism which the Antichrist will promote. This is quite an ecumenical message, quite an ecumenical plan, and on top of it, inside the Vatican. So inside there is everything, a soup of everything, the Kato, the Prot, the Hindu, the Muslims, the Evangelical, the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Confucianists, a soup with everybody, New Age, everybody. There's everything inside. A soup worse than this cannot be. The message continues. I read testimonies of brethren who, in the past century, they were convinced that Jesus is going to come back, and they made some radical choices, and afterwards they were repented of these choices. So, Brother Joseph, I ask you with humility, how can you be sure that you're not wrong in your message? After all, the gospel didn't arrive to every tribe everywhere all over the world. We have the potential to do it, but we didn't do it yet. Thank you for the time you dedicate to me to answer me. Please read Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. So this sister A is practically saying, she refers to this scripture. So she's saying Jesus cannot come back yet because the gospel was not preached all over the world. Well, actually in every corner of the world, I don't know if to every child that is born the gospel would arrive. Maybe he dies before he hears the gospel. God will have to give him the salvation afterwards. After he dies, he will have to hear the gospel if he didn't hear it in this life. So there will be somebody here and there that will not hear the gospel. I want to say this again. God will give a chance to salvation to everybody. God is love. Also, the Americans threw a nuclear bomb in Nagasaki. And Nagasaki was the Christian center of Japan. And the devil basically threw this bomb on them. In this nuclear bomb, some 60,000-70,000 people died in a flash. And how many of these guys were Christians? I'm sure that there were some Christian families there with a 1-2-year-old daughter who never heard about Jesus yet. And what happens? This 1-2-year-old children went to hell? No, not at all. Not at all. 1 Peter 3:19 and 20 talks about Jesus witnessing in the spirit world to the dead who didn't have a choice yet to follow Jesus and receive Jesus. And 1 Peter 4:6 also talks about the gospel being preached in the spiritual world for those who didn't have a chance in this life to receive Jesus. Because it's good we give the scriptures, because sometimes people are scandalized. What do you mean? There is a gospel preached after death? Well, yes, if you didn't reject it in this world. Because if you rejected it, Hebrews 9:27, you die once and then the judgment comes. If you rejected the gospel, you won't have another chance afterwards. The judgment will come. The chance after death is for people who didn't have a chance, the aborted children and so on, those who didn't have a chance in this life. So let's continue the message here. So the question of this sister is, how can you be sure you're not wrong in what you're saying, Brother Joseph? That's what she's asking. Well, the security of what I'm saying, only God can give you. I cannot give it to you. You need to find it. Only God can give it to you. I cannot give you the surety of that I'm right. Only God can reveal that to you. One time, a mechanic was fixing my car, and I asked him, are you sure that your fixing of this engine is sure? For sure you're going to do a good job doing it, fixing it, and it's going to work afterwards. And the mechanic told me the only thing sure here is God. So I learned something. I can only be sure of God. So how can you be sure that what I'm saying is right? Well, first of all, let's go to Matthew 13:9. God speaks in parables. Why does God speak in parables? God speaks in parables so those who so those people who are not supposed to understand will not understand. That's why God speaks in parables, first of all. For example, the Laodicea churches are not destined to understand. First of all, they don't study it. They don't study the prophecies. That's why they don't understand it. The Laodicea people will not understand the prophecies unless they change and they will become Philadelphia. Matthew 13:9. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:9. This message explains why Jesus spoke in parables. Verse 11. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Read Isaiah 6 also. God gives this message to Isaiah in Isaiah 6, and Jesus is repeating it here in Matthew 13. Dear sister, I want to tell you that I don't have a magic wand to put it on your head and then you'll understand everything. It's not like that. You need to get desperate and go on your knees and find out the truth. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, it says. Basically, they have ears to hear, but they don't hear and they don't understand. Matthew 13, Jesus continues, and he says, because they have hardened their heart, that's why they don't understand. That's why God hid the way to salvation, because they hardened their heart. That's why the Laodicea cannot understand, because they are disobedient. That's why they cannot understand, because of their disobediences. It's not that by going to Bible study or Bible seminary you will understand things. Jesus didn't learn letters, and neither the disciples were learned. But they understood because they obeyed. The Bible, you understand it through obedience. That's how you understand the Bible, through obedience. The little I understood is because I gave Jesus my heart and I went and I put it in practice. I put in practice the word. And I started to understand slowly, slowly. The Bible, you don't understand it just by studying and studying it. By studying and obeying it, Verse 17, it says, 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Well, we can know. This scripture tells us that we can see, and we can hear, and we can understand. So she's asking, how can I be sure of what you're saying? No, I don't need to be sure. You need to be sure of what I'm saying is the truth or not. You put your hands on a sick person and will he get healed or not? I don't know. You cannot be sure. But you better fight for it and get him healed. 2 Corinthians 3:16 talks about the veil over Israel. 2 Corinthians 3:16, nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So this ignorance, this blindness, that you don't understand the prophecies, for example, is taken away when you come to Jesus, not to Catholics or Protestants, but you really get converted to Jesus, not to a religion. Not to a religion. Sister, if you want to know if we're really in the end time, Jeremiah 29:13 tells you this. Jeremiah was a prophet that was preaching a truth which was contrary to everything that the Jews believed. All the 99.99% of the Jews' prophets, everybody was against Jeremiah. Everybody was against Jeremiah, prophets, everybody. They were all saying the same thing. Read Jeremiah. God will protect us from Babylon. God loves us and God will assist us. God is love. God is power. God loves us and we have God's promises. And He will protect us. And Jeremiah was saying the opposite. No, Babylonia is going to come and you're going to be taken captives. Jeremiah was arrested for saying all these things. And how can one know if Jeremiah, one person, tells the truth, and all the priests and pastors and archbishops and ultra priests and pastors and whatnot, Protestants and Catholics, they say the opposite of Jeremiah? In his case, the Jews, in our case, the Christians, the Christian world. How can you know the truth? Where is the truth? The same book of Jeremiah gives you the answer. Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and you shall find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. You, dear sister, this is how you will know if Radio Blast tells the truth or lies. If I say the truth or the pastors say the truth. It's not that I'm the only one in the world that preaches these things. There is some other people preaching what I'm preaching. I'm not the only one in the world. So how do you know if Jeremiah was right? Putting yourself on your knees. I went on my knees, but I didn't understand. Keep going on your knees. Fast and pray. Oh, I start to pray and to understand a little, but I still don't understand fully. Keep going, keep praying, keep fasting. Keep going on your knees, okay? Keep fasting and keep going. Well, I'm understanding a little bit more, then keep going and keep going.
Cercate il Signore.
Seek the Lord before your cappuccino, before your TV, before the priest, before the pastor, before Brother Joseph, before Angela. Seek the Lord. Matthew 7:7, what does it say? Seek and you shall find. He who searches finds. God never sent. Matthew 23. God never sent a prophet to confirm that the people were right. The prophet never came to say, oh, all of you people are right and you are doing good. God never sends prophets to approve of what you're doing. God sends prophets with a message. God sends prophets to wake people up. Also Sodom and Gomorrah, God sent the angels. God sent the angels to take Lot out. And Lot tried to warn his family, but they took fun of, they make fun of him. God never sent a prophet to say how good you're doing, but God sent prophets just to tell you that you're doing not right, and you're not doing good, and that you need to change. Prophets are sent to tell us how to do better. Matthew 23:34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. In conclusion, then there are the signs, okay? If you start obeying the gospel, if you start obeying, then you can start understanding it. You obey and you read the Bible and you understand it, okay? First, it all starts with obedience. You start to obey, and then you read the Bible and you understand it. I accepted Jesus and the Holy Spirit, of course. And then I started understanding the Bible because I put it in practice and I obeyed it. First you get married, and then you have the cake of the marriage. In Matthew 24, from 1 through 14, there are a bunch of signs which, if you have the Holy Spirit, you will understand. You will understand these signs if you have the Holy Spirit. Matthew 24, verse 6, for example. One sign is, verse 3, the disciples come unto him and ask Jesus, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and at the end of the world? Matthew 24, 3. Hey, when is the end of the world? And all the rest of the chapter is the answer to this question, okay? So the question is, when is the end time? The end of the world, the end of the devil, the end of the United States, the end of Rome and those days, and these days. When do these things finish? And 2,000 years ago, Jesus gives them signs. When you shall see these signs, verse 34 and 35, it says, when you shall see these signs, you will know it's the last generation. We know that we're in the last generation because of all the signs. God told Abraham that a generation is 100 years in Genesis. Verse 6, wars and rumors of wars. Verse 7, famines. Are there wars, famines these days? Yes. Then earthquakes, pestilences. Are there earthquakes these days? Yes, and rising. Verse 9, persecutions. Verse 9, persecutions. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, like never before. 10. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. They shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. For sure they betray one another and hate one another in the Christian world today. 10. Verse 10. We read. And then 11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. The number one false prophet today is the Pope. Verse 12, the love of many shall grow cold. This word here, love, it's agape. It's the love between the Christians. There is hardly any love between Christians today. Where is the church that eats together, that helps each other? Where is the church that has brothers inside, that one brother has two houses and gives a house to one of his brothers who doesn't have? We need to help each other. This is the way we need to love. Verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. But this sister is saying that because of the scripture, that's why we know we're not in the end time. Well, I want to tell you that in the last century, the gospel has been preached all over the world. Jesus doesn't say he will be received all over the world. No, no, no. He says preached. That's it. On TV, on the radio, people are hearing the gospel. I mean, it's not necessarily that people stop and listen to the Christian programs, but the Christian program is broadcasting on TV and on radio all over the world. If one time they'll stop and hear, maybe even Radio Blast, they will get saved. There is much more to say about this message, but we will stop soon. Another thing, the prophecies about Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ezekiel 38 and 39, Magog is Russia. And look what Russia doing these days. It's getting more and more power in the political world. And it's prophesied that Russia will destroy America. The way America is behaving, she is also fulfilling prophecies from the gospel, from the Bible, prophecies from Revelation 17 and 18. So this is how we know it's America, by the way she behaves, and she's just fulfilling what is written there, Revelation 17 and 18. Many people don't understand these prophecies because they don't obey, okay? You will not understand unless you obey. That's very, very important. You know, in every war, in every army, if you don't first learn to obey your sergeants, you will not be able to win any war. You'll never to win any war if you don't learn to obey your sergeants. And if you don't become a good soldier, you will not even be sent to the war front. You will be kicked out back home. We are the army of the Lord. We need to be wholehearted. We need to learn to say yes, Lord, and to obey it. Evangelize, love your family, memorize. If you want, even go on the Bible course. We send you the Bible course so you can grow in the Spirit. If you don't start to go on your knees in front of Him, Jesus will not reveal to you. Jesus will not reveal to you the end time strategies and how to be victorious in the end time. You will end up on a bench, just sleepy and sitting on a bench in church. And she's saying, first of all, we don't need to believe what people say. Not even we. You don't need to believe Radio Blast. You just need to believe the scriptures and then ask the Holy Spirit to show you the truth. That's why the Holy Spirit is very indispensable. It's indispensable to have the Holy Spirit. Ask for it and you shall receive it. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to understand the world we are living in. If you know the scriptures and you have the Holy Spirit, you will know the truth without being confused of what people say around you. Confusion will not come to you, neither through what the Vatican says or what we say. No. You will have the rock of the Word and the Holy Spirit to guide you. I pray you're going to have the Holy Spirit, dear sister, to help you discern in what times we're living in. One day, Joseph says, we're going to have to refuse the mark of the beast, the microchip. The Pope is probably going to say, this microchip is not the mark of the beast. Just take it. It's just some silly fanatics that say it's the mark of the beast. Don't worry about not taking it. Just take it peacefully. In those moments, you're going to have to decide. You're going to have to decide where is the truth and who you should obey. I'm not talking about the sheep in the Catholic Church. I'm talking about the gerarchy. The gerarchy who is out of it. God bless the priests who are on the ball and sincere, whether they are Protestants or Catholics. God looks at their sincerity. But what you need to know is to ask the Lord to help you discern who has the truth. Jeremiah 29:13. Seek me and you with all your heart and you will understand God's truth. It's just like the mechanic told me, the only sure thing is God. So ask God to reveal you the truth. Because the time will come when the microchip will be given out and we think it's the mark of the beast, and then you're going to have to decide, is this true or not? Am I going to take it or not? Get yourself on your knees and ask God to reveal to you His truth. Fast, pray, go to Jesus, go to the gospel, get desperate, and Jesus will speak to you. Jesus will answer you because He loves you, because He wants to answer you.